listening to Due North, your community-driven source for local and regional news in northern British Columbia on CFIR 88.7 FM. You can hear a new episode of Due North every Wednesday to Friday morning at 10 a.m., as well as episodes of Missing Peter Zosky and Prince George, hosted by Stuart Parker every Monday at 11 a.m. We gratefully acknowledge the support of the National Campus and Community Radio Association and the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative Program. Mackenzie Kerr is the Green Party candidate for the Prince George Vail Mount riding in the upcoming BC provincial election. Mackenzie, thanks for joining me on the phone today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we'll just launch right in. What do you see as the three most important issues in this election? What should people be paying attention to?
The three things that I really want to focus on that I think are the top issues right now are creating a sustainable forest industry so that we have local jobs and making sure that we have a long-term sustainable industry, not just short-term band-aid solution. The second thing that I want to focus on is a new economy and making sure that we're investing in renewable energy and hemp and all of the other opportunities that are right in front of us right now. And the third thing that I want to focus on is making sure that we have an accountable government. Because this election shouldn't have been called right now. The CASA agreement was broken, and I believe if we have more Greens in government, we can hold the other parties to account and make sure that the policies that are important to our province are being brought forward.
Mm-hmm. And what does a sustainable forestry industry look like to you?
Sure. So I'm studying forestry at UMBC. I'm almost done my degree. I have two classes left. And that looks like a ban on spraying glyphosate, no more old-growth logging, no more raw log exports, and supporting small, innovative, sustainable forestry businesses, co-ops, research forests, making sure that local jobs are staying in the local communities and we aren't shipping our jobs away and then buying products back.
Great. And what are the barriers to reform and how do you plan to address them?
The barriers to reform is lack of political will. If we have more Greens elected, we will be able to reform these changes and make sure that we're progressing in this province in a way that benefits everyone, not just the select few at the top.
Okay. Speaking of these reforms benefiting everyone, the forestry and resource extraction more generally has largely been dominated by a white and male workforce and leadership. In fact, a Stats Canada report from 2017 indicated that only 17% of the workforce are women, 9% are visible minorities, and even less are Indigenous. How do you see your candidacy supporting workers who are frequently excluded from these jobs? And what other industry do you support in the region?
Sure. So I think that's a really great question. I have worked at the pulp mill for three summers as a summer student, and I'm definitely stand out because it is mostly, white men. And I think that even at jobs that are in higher executive positions in the natural resource industry, that's the pattern that we see. I think if we're actually going to take real action on making sure that we have more representation in these industries, it's going to, a good start would be electing a more diverse legislative assembly. So that looks like electing more women. We have had a female MLA in this region for a great time, 19 years. But I think that it's time for, some new perspectives and making sure that we are also advocating for Indigenous sovereignty and making sure that Indigenous people are at the table and helping make these decisions when it comes to natural resource extraction, especially with the BLM movement. I believe that, people are finally taking consideration into making sure that making sure that, police brutality is ended and West Wet'suwet'en territory was raided at 4 a.m. under the NDP government. The Greens have a real plan and real action and are actually genuine in making sure that relationships like that don't continue in this province, because it's actually despicable that that is happening in our government. So we need to make sure that we have voices in the legislature that are advocating for diversity and fairness in government. And we are not just inviting Indigenous people to the table, but we're actually respecting their government as well and thinking of it as the same level of government. It's just another level of government. And a lot of people just kind of phone and consult with Indigenous people as an add-on or an afterthought. And that's what needs to change.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned some of the recent RCMP action in Wet'suwet'en. What do you see as the role of the RCMP? And how would you address issues of systemic racism in policing and in the courts?
Sure. So, I mean, that's a hard answer to, a hard question to answer in 30 seconds. So I am going to share my personal views. So my views are that the Green Party is the only party that actually takes these issues takes these issues seriously. And we need to make sure that if we have as many Greens elected as possible in the legislative assembly, that's when we're going to get serious action, because the other two parties have shown us that they're not serious about taking action, and they've instituted UNDRIP, but then they've raided Wet'suwet'en territory and have not been genuine in their connections. So I believe that, you know, the Green Party has a real plan to make sure that police brutality and racial profiling and all of this isn't happening anymore, and actually holding, people to account that are at fault for this action. Systemic racism is extremely deep in our communities. Colonialism is, the basis of our country, that we have a past with it. So we need to make sure that we're moving forward in a positive way. And a good friend of mine, Vince Wickham, his sister, I believe, or cousin, was on the front lines in Wet'suwet'en territory. And he had a great quote, and he said on Orange Shirt Day, and he said, before we can truly talk about reconciliation, first we need to talk about accepting the truth, because the Truth and Reconciliation Report came out, but some people are still saying, well, it was so long ago, we need to get over it. But these issues are still fresh, and we still need to be sitting at the table talking with people about going forward and how we're going to move forward and acknowledging that this happened in our past, because a lot of people just want to brush it under the rug.
Yeah. Do you feel any incongruity in from like a personal point of view between your participation in government, which is at its foundation a colonial system, mm-hmm. and your respect for Indigenous land sovereignty and Indigenous activists?
Sure. So I think that to change the system, my view is to work within the system to change it from the inside out. That's why I want to run, because I believe that, fully supportive and always attend, fully supportive and always attend the protests, the Wet'suwet'en protests that we had in town, BLM. I think when real change is going to happen, it's because we have enough good people elected into government that are serious about making the changes at the policy level. So we need both people protesting and good people elected in government to make the changes happen from both ends, because I don't believe that it will happen and the system will change and all of these things, will come to an end and we will finally have an equitable society if only, if we're only doing one of them. So that's why I really encourage everyone to vote Green, because we're the only party that actually takes this seriously and was against Site C and was against, the Enbridge pipeline that is going through traditional territory, and we voted against it every single time. So if you just look at the records of the party, it shows which one is actually serious. And I do think that, the Indian Act and the elected chiefs and councils, like this was created by the government of Canada to control First Nations people. And, you know, something that last year I talked a little bit about was, which is a federal issue, is getting rid of the Indian Act. But of course, we would have to discuss with each nation, you know, what would work for them and make sure that this is a process that everyone is involved in. It's not just, you know, one person deciding like what happens. So we need to discuss what that would look like and how, as a provincial MLA, I would have a voice for that and make sure that the colonial history of Canada does not continue into the next generations. And we make sure that, you know, we have a sustainable, just equitable future, because the way things are going and what we've seen in the last year on West Threatened Territory is definitely not the direction we need to go, and is a great example of, you know, the history that we have in this province and this country.
Okay. And so you mentioned the incumbent, Shirley Bond. This riding has voted Liberal since 1996, though at the time it was called something different. It was the Prince George Mount Robson riding. Mm-hmm. What do you think it'll take to prompt a shift in the riding? And what do you have that candidates have lacked in the past?
Sure. So I think the shift is here. I think people are ready. In the federal election last year, we tripled the vote. We tripled the green vote. And I'm super excited to build on that momentum. And hopefully this time we can switch the riding. I mean, there is examples across the province, especially on the island, where it has switched from a more conservative riding to green. Elizabeth May's riding federally is one that comes to mind. And she had the highest voter turnout in the entire country. So I think, you know, the Greens entice people that are jaded about politics to come out and vote, because we do politics differently. And that's something that, you know, myself and the Greens bring to the table that is different than any other party. We don't have whipped votes. We don't want to play politics as usual and play games. We don't want to heckle in the House. That doesn't get us anywhere. And people like that refreshing view. They like the idea that we use science to back our choices. And that is different than every other party. The other parties, you know, have some bad history with saying one thing and doing another in regards to fracking and LNG and Site C. We can look at the NDP. And if we look at the Liberals, we can see a slew of other, you know, promises that have been broken. So I don't want this to be about partisan politics. I want to focus on what the Greens bring to the table that is different. And you know, Shirley's done great in this riding, so I just want to talk to people about what I can do for them and hopefully earn their trust. And I think people know that it's time for a change, and we need to be looking into the future and be challenging the old way of doing things. So that's what I'm excited to bring to this riding, and hopefully connect with as many people as I can with 15 days left. I mean, with a snap election, it's extremely difficult, but I think that people will, you know, be pretty, what I'm seeing on the doorsteps is that people, well, online, we're not door knocking, but is that people are fed up with the idea of an election being called right now when it didn't need to be. So I'm hoping that people, you know, use this as a time to say, I'm ready for a change. And, you know, people are out of work because of COVID. We need a COVID recovery plan and make sure that we're going in the right direction, not just going back to the status quo. And the Greens have a plan to do that.
You mentioned the fact that Green Party MLAs are unwhipped, and you've mentioned it in the past, as a reason you're running as a Green candidate. And obviously you support a lot of the Green Party policy. Can you think of an example where you would not support something put forward by the Green Party?
There hasn't been anything that has come up yet. Federally, there was, you know, some things that I had a bit of a difference of opinion on, but it was nothing that ever came up. It was just on, you know, some gun laws, but that's not provincial anyway, so that, you know, won't be coming up this time. But they, you know, they have a bit of a stricter view, and I come from a hunting family and, you know, believe that, you know, that we need to make sure that illegal guns aren't coming across our border, and focusing on that instead of the things that Trudeau brought forward a couple months ago. So, but other than that, there's nothing provincially that has come up so far. They are bringing out a great plan, and I'm super proud and excited to be advocating for it.
Okay. And what would you say to people who have maybe disengaged from the political system through disenfranchisement? along any number of lines, or a feeling of
Mm-hmm.
disconnection from the policies, the promises, and the broken promises. What would you say to those people to encourage them to vote this time?
I would say I am also fed up with these games and these broken promises, and that is why I'm running. And I am encouraging people to vote green because we are doing politics differently, and we're not here to play those games. If another party has a good plan and a good policy, and we have made sure that the green values are in that policy, and we've amended it to make sure it fits to our values, we will vote for it, even if it doesn't, even if we don't get the recognition. And that's what's different about us. And that's how we need to do politics. We need to make sure that whatever policies are brought forward by other parties or by us, if everyone in British Columbia is considered in that policy and it's for the greater good of the province, we don't care who gets credit. And you will not see that from the other parties. A great example of that is a conversion, banning conversion therapy bill that we brought forward last year, and the NDP crushed it. Like, what? That's something that I really think that we need to talk about, because I am in the LGBTQ2S plus community, and I was very excited to be there in Victoria when that bill was proposed by the Greens. And they debated it for a couple months in the House with the NDP, and they crushed it. Ultimately, the reason is because they wouldn't get credit for it. And they just said, well, they can do it federally, so we don't need to do it provincially. So the Greens do politics differently, and we aren't here to play games and heckle. And yes, I will, you know, call out bad policies by other parties, but I'm never going to take personal jabs at other candidates. So I think that that is something that we need, that refreshing view and that refreshing outlook in our riding, and I'm hoping that people are ready for that as well.
Okay, thank you. And how can people find out more about you, your platform, and any upcoming, probably virtual events?
Yeah. So to reach me, you can just go to mackenziekerr.ca, and all of my platforms are on there so that you can easily find my Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all of our upcoming events as well. So mackenziekerr.ca. And yeah, you can email me, you can donate, you can click to volunteer, order a lawn sign, and I look forward to connecting with as many people as possible as fast as we can.
Mackenzie Kerr, thank you so much for joining me today. I know you must be exceptionally busy.
Thank you, Kate.